The DX Audio Service.
We rock, you roll. Get it?
There's nothing else quite like it. Let's go!
And welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for October 2001. This is issue number 199, and I'm your host, Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service, coming to you from the Transmitter Shack. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. You can contact me by telephone at my new telephone number, and that number is 419-228-6223. That's 419-22-VOBE, V-O-B-B-E, on your telephone. Please change my phone information as I've changed telephone companies, and the old number was unable to follow me. However, I was lucky to be able to get the new number for my business. Again, that number is 419-228-6223, or 419-22-VOBE. The fax number is still 419-221-1609, and the action line is still 419-224-1609. The best time to reach me is usually in the early evening or on weekends. If you're on the internet, you can send me email at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And on the web, we're at the soon-to-be newly redesigned www.nrcdxas.org. Well, if you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, and we sure hope you will, and live in the United States of America, the cost is $28. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $32, and to Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned. Well, our next edition, the November 2001 edition, will be our 200th edition of the DX Audio Service. Please don't send me cake and email as I'm on a diet, but it's quite a milestone for a magazine that was started out back in 1985 for just a handful of people. And with our next edition, I'd like to ask that you help us in two ways. First of all, I'd like each member to call the DX Audio Service action line at 419-224-1609 and just say hello and where you're calling from, and perhaps pass along your thoughts about radio, your listening habits, or what you enjoy listening to, and maybe just a brief introduction. For example, how many of you know that I like to collect oldies songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and also enjoy photography? I think a small introduction plus some information about your hobbies might be interesting to all that listen to the magazine. Now, secondly, if you have some comments or concerns that you would like to share with us, please take the time to do one of the following. Either write them down on a letter or email, or voice them on a cassette, and just send me your thoughts, and I'd like to listen to them. It'd be interesting to know what we can do to serve you better, and I can't promise that we can do everything because of time constraints, but every thought and issue will be taken into consideration by myself and the column editors. Well, with that, let's turn it over to Mr. Jerry Starr, W8JV from Youngstown, Ohio, with a look at the AM Switch. Jerry?
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch out of the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. Reference number 513 begins with our traditional big pile of call letter changes. On 590, KSZZ, San Bernardino, California becomes KRLH. 850, CKMA, Abbotsford, British Columbia, changing to CFSR. 930, KIXT, Bellingham, Washington becomes KABI. 970 KUPL Portland, Oregon, changing to KUFO. 980 KCTY Salinas, California becomes KDBV. On 1000 WDBE Jupiter, Florida, very slight call letter change to WDBF. 1000 WHK Cleveland, Ohio goes back to being WCCD as the big Cleveland call letter in a blender event continues. On 1010, KCMJ, Thousand Palms, California becomes KXPS. 1050, KEYF, Dishman, Washington changing to KDRK. 1090, WMTY, Greenwood, South Carolina becomes WCZZ. Last month, we reported several stations to you on incorrect frequencies due to receiving the incorrect information from the source. And one of those is on 1150 KSRB, Seattle, Washington. They changed to KKNW. We had that on the wrong frequency last month. There'll be another one later on down the list here. 1170 KBNZ, Honolulu, Hawaii becomes KZEZ. 1200 KOQI, Soquel, California, changing to KYAA. 1210 WJZZ, Kingsley, Michigan, changing to WLDR. On 1220 KBZS, Palo Alto, California, changes to KSFB. 1220 WHKC, Cleveland, Ohio, becomes WHK. They dropped the C. 1270 KXPS in Thousand Palms, California, becomes KCMJ to complete that swap. 1320 KNRQ, Eugene, Oregon, becomes KSCR. Another station we reported on the wrong frequency last month is on 1330 WBTR in Carrollton, Georgia. They become WLBB. 1400, the new station in Moultrie, Georgia, will become WHBS. 1440 WFHM in Warren, Ohio, goes back to WHKW. And on 1490, KWAB Boulder, Colorado, becomes KCFC. Three new stations were applied for on 770 in Nassau Village, Ratliff, Florida, on 1180 in Plano, Illinois, and also on 1180 in Baxter, Minnesota. One new station was granted. That's on 750 in Manchester, New Hampshire, 500 watts daytime, 260 watts nighttime, separate patterns day and night. Several applications of interest on 1230 CHVB in Dolbeau, Quebec. They would like to move to FM 100.3. And on 1530 WVFC in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania, would like to move to 1180 kilohertz and change their city of license to King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. It's kind of interesting to note that it appears this station is using the engineering from the long-expired construction permit for a station called WBCQ, which was in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, on 1180, was authorized nearly 20 years ago. The station was never built. The construction permit has expired a long, long time ago, but it appears that WVFC is attempting to move into that long vacated spot. Some grants of interest on 550 WKNJ Lakeside, New Jersey, goes full-time by adding 28 watts at night. 650 WJLT Ashland, Massachusetts, also adds a mighty 9 watts at night. 1360 WWOW Conneaut, Ohio, increases their day power to 5,000 watts and becomes full-time by adding 35 watts at night. On 1560 KWCO Chickasha, Oklahoma, they go full-time, 1,000 watts daytime, 250 watts at night, directional at night only. And on 1590 WOKX in High Point, North Carolina, becomes full-time by adding 14 watts at night. Under otherness on 660 in Eugene, Oregon, the new synchronous station for KZTU in Junction City is now on the air. They are on at night only with 140 watts. On 890 KLFF, that new station in Arroyo Grande, California, expects to be on the air in the month of September. They'll have a religious format. 1290 WHGR Houghton Lake, Michigan has gone silent. 1030 KOCR Joplin, Missouri is now back on the air. 1420 KYVU in Yucca Valley, California. This station is gone for good. The license is canceled. The call deleted. 1520 WRSL in Sanford, Kentucky. This station is silent pending a sale. 1530 WLSP Lapeer, Michigan is back on the air. 1660 WGIT in Casanovas, Puerto Rico. This new X-band station is on the air. And on 1670, the first X-band station to bite the dust is WAWR in Salisbury, Maryland. The construction permit has been canceled and the call deleted. And that'll wrap it up for this month with a reminder that I accept mail at 4040 Simon Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44512. And we want to send out a gigantic job well done to John Malachy for a super convention in Pittsburgh. What a good time we had meeting a lot of old friends and making some new friends this year. And one of the highlights, of course, as always, was seeing John Balker do his live travelogue, just like this.
Well, thanks once again, Jerry. And now, live on tape, this is the Travelogue, coming to you from the Thompson Room at the Green Tree Radisson Hotel in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Well, we got some people here for you to meet, but let's see. First, even though he's not here, I want to say thanks once again to Skip Dettelstein. He sent in another cassette from the Valley of the Sun. And we're missing you, Skip. We got to get you to one of these conventions out there from Arizona one of these days. Ernie Wasilowski, he made the He made a trip to the frozen north up in Alaska and parts of western Canada and sent in a fully packed tape. And Ernie, that's terrific. Thanks so very much. And Scott Vibush, bless his heart, he came to Pittsburgh with a load of cassettes. I think there are seven of them, finally, isn't there? At least seven. And, oh, he says more to come. That's, oh, say, when you get down to New Orleans next week, you're going to New Orleans? Okay, that's excellent. I'm missing 640 in Thibodeau, which is just outside New Orleans. Yeah, well, good luck. We taped it for about 3 hours, and they wouldn't ID for us. So there you go.
How legal?
anything that says Thibodeau or whatever. Well, let's see. Hey, we got some people to talk to. Wayne Ryan, hi.
Hello there.
You're from Brantford.
Yes, sir, Brantford, Ontario.
Okay. What are you doing here in Pittsburgh? How's it been?
Oh, I've loved it. My second consecutive convention. I had a great time in Lima, Ohio last year, so had to come back.
Well, that's great. We're glad to have you here, too. Clarence, you're here. Clarence Cordray from...
Cordray from Cincinnati. I have to get used to that because I moved here last year. Anyway, so we're having a beautiful time here. I thought the highlight of the convention was our trip to KDKA. So that's going to be interesting. That was very interesting.
The Pioneer Voice.
The Pioneer Voice.
Yeah, great. Well, we're glad to have you up here. We're glad to have you up here from Cincinnati. Yeah, it was a great time. And by the way, the fellow who showed us around KDKA was a winner, too. He seemed to be really interested in radio. Okay, who's this fellow?
Hi, John. This is Dave Morthouse from Brookneal, Virginia. And Brookneal, Virginia, the garden spot of Western civilization as we know it.
I know that.
You were there. You know.
Yeah. How are things at WODI? You own WODI.
Yeah, things are going fine, and we're cruising along. The audio's going in, and the RF's coming out.
Well, now, you have a fellow named Larry Stoller that helps you run the place?
Larry Steele, a.k.a. Larry Steele.
Larry Steele. Oh, Larry Steele, but Larry's, is Larry down? Wait a minute. This is Larry Steele.
He shows up periodically.
Good morning.
Good morning,
John.
Who's running the store?
Actually, it's running itself right now, believe it or not. It's doing just fine.
Don't you two fellas, you're right beside each other here.
Yes.
Don't you two fellas frequently complain about, you know, syndicated programming and the automation and the lack of... And you're running your station by automation?
Well, actually, we have to go out here for vacation and a little fun, so
right. Occasionally
we tend to slip up and, you know, become a bit hypocritical.
I hope you left Harry, your chief engineer, in charge.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Good.
And Larry, let's see, you're not from Brookneal, Virginia.
No, I'm from Connecticut. I live in Stamford near New York City.
Are you involved in radio in Connecticut at all?
Yes, but my favorite kind of radio is going out to see him in Virginia and do mornings on WODI.
He just wants a free dinner.
Exactly.
And let's see, we have our Miami contingent is up here. Mike Lance.
Yes. Hi, from Miami Beach, Florida, and this is my 11th convention.
11th? Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Okay. And it's great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the KDKA trip and all of the other radio stations that we went to.
We're going to be doing 670 here in a minute.
Okay.
Tell me about 670 in Miami.
Oh, 670 has La Poderosa, WWFE, 670.
And you listen to it all the time?
I listen to it all the time. In fact, I was on that station. I had said something on there, and they ran it for years.
Okay.
After 6 o'clock doing a show called Talk of the Town.
In Spanish.
In Spanish.
Okay, Mike. Well, that's great. That's a good way to learn Spanish, I'm sure. Well, let's see. We better get back to work here or we'll never get the thing done. As I say, today we're going to be hearing IDs from stations all over the place that operate at 670 on the AM dial. Let's go from, as we always do, from the east, northeast to the west coast with our collection of station breaks. And this is 670 on the dial. And let's start in the mountains of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
With temperatures in the low to mid 80s right through Sunday. This is the news and information station, WIEZ Lewistown, AM 670.
From ABC News, I'm John Belmont.
Okay, John. Well, we're going to be going down now to the Hampton Roads area, which that's about as exciting as hearing from Tampa Bay, which is near where I live. You see, Hampton Roads is nothing but a body of water. Are you aware of that? There's no such place as Hampton Roads except as a body of water. And, of course, Tampa Bay is the same thing. So I would expect something of a gurgling sound. Let's see what they got in Claremont, Virginia.
All new 670 traffic. station forecast from All News 670 and Wavy TV 10 calling for sunny skies, temperatures moving into the 80s. I'm Pat Murphy from All News 670.
You're listening to Hampton Roads' only all-news radio station. All News 670 is WVNS AM 670. Fairmont, Hampton Roads.
That station, by the way, has changed its calls. In fact, it's changed its calls three or four times, and it's now back to WRJR.
Making a joyful noise. This is WRJR, Claremont, Norfolk, Hampton Roads, Virginia. WRJR, Rejoice Radio, AM 670.
What are you trying to say, Yolanda? Look, forget about all that other junk. This battle ain't yours. It's the law.
RJR, you'd think it would stand for something else, perhaps, coming from Virginia or North Carolina. But it's Rejoice Radio, so that surprised both of us. Well, anyway, a two-day drive, it's going to take us to our next station at 670 on the dial, straight down Interstate 95 to Mike Lance's home area. This particular cut, Mike, came from Tony Simon. I don't know if you've met Tony. But you'll remember we used your recording last time we came up the dial, and I'll bet you can't remember what month in the year that was that we came up to 670 before. Anyway, here's a cut from Tony Simon.
670, foi Angel Martin.
This is WWFE, 670 AM, Miami.
Esta es la poderosa 670 AM, cubriendo claramente desde Orlando hasta Los Cayos y el Caribe.
Okay, that's all we have in the Sunshine State, as a matter of fact, to offer on this trip, so we'll head north and to a very small town on the western edge of Alabama, not far from Meridian, Mississippi, in fact.
From the heart of the Southland, this is WYLS, York, Livingston, Alabama.
We're going to be taking a big zig and a big zag as we continue our adventure at 670. From there, almost over the Mississippi River, we're going to be camping next outside Knoxville, far eastern Tennessee. This, by the way, is one of the two stations on this channel that runs only from sunup to sundown with no pre-sunrise or post-sunset or critical hour operations of any kind.
WTNN 670 AM Stereo, Farragut, Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Shannon Smith. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
The president is determined that this summer jobs, the immunization, the highway, and some other parts of this program are very important.
Well, sir, next we come to the big city of the Midwest. Mark Durenberger's given you lots of sound from this clear channel giant in Chicago. I'll take you back a couple of years to the nostalgic sounds from the merchandise mart right on the banks of the Chicago River.
It's happening now. You're hearing it now on WMAQ. We are all news, all day, every day. News time, 6 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Pat Cassidy. In the news, CTA Blue Line is fine after an early morning subway explosion.
670 in Chicago now.
This is the new 50,000-watt powerful home of WSCR Chicago.
An Infinity Broadcasting Station.
The Score, Chicago's Sports Radio 670.
O'clock on WSCR Chicago. Buffon and Memelo with you. Update time. We'll get back to the phones there.
Well, okay. I wish they were doing better in the ratings, but I'm sure their sales force is promoting the idea that their audience is fine-tuned. Anyway, let's go off down the Mississippi River once again. This time, we're going to stay on the western banks of Old Man River into Bill Clinton's home state, just out Route 70 from Hot Springs. Oh, and I knew you were just waiting to learn what the other station on this channel is that's strictly a daytimer.
It's this next one.
Afternoon, the complete taped call of the feature race to the evening recap. The Twin Quixies are there. This is Terry Wallace saying stay tuned to AM 670 and FM 104.5.
KWXI AM, KWXE FM, Glenwood Hot Springs, the home of NBC News on the Hour.
NBC Radio News. At this hour, President Clinton's holding a news conference, which this time is expected to focus on domestic issues.
We're going to take a big jump of geography next to the Rocky Mountains. Commerce City, Colorado. It's really next to downtown Denver. Runs a full 50,000 watts during the daytime hours and drops way back at night.
Hi, this is Pastor Craig. Join me each weekday evening at 9 p.m. on KLC Radio as together we explore Christian life from the cradle to the crown.
670 KLCT, Commerce City.
Okay. One big reason it drops way back at night is this genuine powerhouse of the Northwest.
With 50,000 watts, this is Idaho's news and sports leader. News Talk 670, KBOI, Boise, Nampa, Caldwell.
From ABC News, I'm Dorothy McIntyre. The Middle East Peace Summit, set to start Monday in Washington, might be put on hold.
Now, the next recording was made in the parking lot of KWNK. Now, they had a bunch of out-of-town cheerleaders there practicing for an afternoon ball game, so I just sat and watched and taped the station. Little did I know I could have made this recording 100 miles away just by tuning to a different frequency.
You're hearing Extra Sports 690 on KWNK Simi Valley. Sports for all of Southern California. 670 AM for the Simi in San Fernando Valley. And 690 AM for everywhere else. Extra Sports 690.
Well, let's wrap up this complete but brief tour of the United States. I'm going to play you a collection of IDs from a city with a well-protected harbor more than 400 miles southwest of Anchorage in Alaska. And my purpose is to show how much pride and spirit a station can bring to a community when it really tries. This station operates with 10,000 watts, and if it were a daytimer, it wouldn't matter during the summer because the sun never sets there. You see, it's on the air 24 hours a day with a signal that covers much of the Bering Sea and much of the North Pacific Rim.
67 KDLG, Dillingham. The spirit of 67 KDLG, Dillingham.
The All-American.
The spirit of 67 KDLG, Dillingham.
Your country.
And now, more music from KDLG. Good morning from KDLG and Scott Dyson.
You wonder what they pay the fellow with the drum, right?
Many of the villages may not have roads, but in November of 1975, we turned the switch, and they do have radio.
A spirit of 67, KDLG, Dillingham.
Public radio, KDLG. At 670, we have regular listeners over about 160,000 square miles of southwest Alaska.
In fact, they'd cover a lot more of Oceania out there if it weren't for this last entry in today's travelogue. This, too, was provided by Skip Dibblestein just a few years ago.
CNN Headline News Network.
67 AM KPUA Hilo, your CBS radio news and sports affiliate on the Big Island.
67.
That was a nice catch. Some water path you have there between the islands, so I'm delighted you thought enough to send it along. That's great. Well, as usual, Fred, our recording is way over the allotted time, but just before I turn this over to Bruce Conti, I promised to tell you the frequency we'd be covering, we were covering actually back 11 years ago today. Okay, anybody know what it was? Shout it out.
670.
In fact, it was 670 we were doing 11 years ago today. Total coincidence. That was Clarence Cordray. You came up with that. Hey, I see Paul Blay over in the corner, too. Paul, glad to have you here with us today. Down from Brantford, Ontario, too, Wayne.
Yes.
Both of you. Right, great. Okay, well, hey, by the way, it's been a real delight and a terrific surprise to see Bruce Conti here in Pittsburgh this weekend. In fact, let's go join Bruce right now and see what he has for us.
This is Danelle Wagner from Hopewell Encore, and when we need to know, we listen to
KDKAA Pittsburgh,
an Infinity Broadcasting Station.
Voted out of the Survivor Outback, we're telling it like it is. KDKA's Fred Hansberger, weekdays at 3 on your information source. We're Pittsburgh's radio station, KDKA, AM 1020.
Hundreds of
asylum Hello, DXers. I am Bruce Conti, and this is the DX Digest. This month, from the 2001 NRC DXAS convention in Pittsburgh. Before I get started, John, you had an ID for XETRA relayed on 670 in your travel log, and that got me thinking, don't radio stations in Mexico have to announce their legal ID in Spanish? I remember way back in the late 60s living in San Diego, California, when my parents used to listen to XETRA. It was middle of the road music and news back then, broadcast in English, but the top of the hour ID was always in Spanish. Anyway, maybe DXAS members in the Southwest can help. Do all the English language border stations in Mexico no longer ID in Spanish? Here at the convention, I enjoyed tours of the city, radio and TV station tours, the camaraderie of fellow DXers, and even some DXing, despite the hotel's high RF noise levels, managing to grab Croatia on 1134 kilohertz and lots of domestic stations while demonstrating antenna phasing with a couple of 230-foot long wires. More importantly, we were able to retrace the history of Frank Conrad and KDKA, visiting the site of Conrad's experimental station 8XK just days before demolition to make way for a new Wendy's restaurant. Rick Harris, chairman of the Wilkinsburg Commission and proposed National Museum of Broadcasting, presented a slideshow about the Conrad Project and the continuing effort to save what remains of broadcast history in the Pittsburgh area. It was Frank Conrad who operated experimental station 8XK from a garage in Wilkinsburg, a suburb of Pittsburgh, back in 1920, coining the term broadcast from agriculture, playing phonograph records, and advertising the Hamilton Music Store. This attracted the attention of Westinghouse Vice President Harry Davis, who saw the profitability of this new medium, and thus KDKA was born. The site of Conrad's home and garage until a few years ago had served as an Elks Lodge. The Elks constructed a larger building attached to the Conrad house and then wanted to demolish the garage containing Conrad's laboratory for additional parking space. After several years of effort, the Wilkinsburg Commission was able to save the garage, but it had to be removed from the site. The garage was dismantled brick by brick, and now the pieces sit in storage awaiting restoration as part of the National Museum of Broadcasting. However, the Conrad home could not be saved. Some of the interior moldings and decorating were documented or removed for possible recreation of Conrad's music room. But even a piano marked Hamilton Music Store, possibly the one used in 8XK broadcasts, remained in the attic to be destroyed with the house. We were fortunate to get one last look at the Conrad house within days of scheduled demolition. Historical markers had already been removed in preparation for the construction work. One could almost feel a sense of loss as the neglected home awaited its destiny. From the Conrad home site at the intersection of Penn and Peebles in Wilkinsburg, it was a short drive down Penn Avenue to Greensburg Pike and the site of KDKA Shortwave in Forest Hills. While the original transmitter building remains, it looks nothing like the original, remodeled extensively for use as the Westinghouse Recreation Center. A plaque posted by the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission tells the significance of the site. On this site in 1923, Westinghouse opened a special radio facility to experiment with long-distance transmissions. Led by Frank Conrad, engineers here demonstrated the vital role of high-frequency short waves in sending broadcasts around the world. Another plaque dedicates the site as follows. Forest Hills, Westinghouse Recreation Center. donated to the people of Forest Hills by CBS Westinghouse Electric Corporation. This historic location was the site of the first worldwide radio broadcasts by KDKA in the 1920s and the earliest transmissions of electronic television images. It later served as a popular recreation center for Westinghouse employees and retirees for over 70 years. The final destination along the Conrad KDKA Trail took us down the Greensburg Pike to East Pittsburgh and the former Westinghouse Works industrial area. Rising into view at the end of the pike is an 8-story red brick building known simply as the K Building. This is where the famous Harding Cox election broadcast of 1920 took place. A shack on the roof of the building served as the studio and transmitter room with the antenna stretched out across the roof. Two plaques tell the story. This plaque marks the historic location of radio station KDKA, the world's first commercial radio station and the site of the first and most famous broadcast, the Harding Cox election returns on November 2, 1920. Erected on June 17, 1977 by the Turtle Creek Bicentennial Commission and Westinghouse Electric Corporation under the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission, Historic Sites and Landmarks.
This is KDKA of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We shall now broadcast the election returns. We are receiving these returns through the cooperation and by special arrangements with the Pittsburgh Post and Sun. The election returns will be broadcast as soon as they are received by us here at KDKA.
Another plaque posted by the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers commemorates the site. Electrical Engineering Milestone, Westinghouse Radio Station, KDKA. Westinghouse Radio Station, KDKA, was a world pioneer of commercial radio broadcasting, transmitting with a power of 100 watts on a wavelength of 360 meters. KDKA began scheduled programming with the Harding Cox presidential election returns on November 2, 1920. A shed housing studio and transmitter was atop the K Building of the Westinghouse East Pittsburgh Works, conceived by H.P. Davis, broadcasting as a public service evolved from Frank Conrad's weekly experimental broadcasts over his amateur radio station 8XK, attracting many regular listeners who had wireless receiving sets. The K Building and other structures in the former Westinghouse complex are now subdivided as the Keystone Industrial Park. And by the way, the K Building designation has no relationship at all with the call letters KDKA. Westinghouse used to designate all their buildings alphabetically: A Building, B Building, C Building, and so on. It's simply a coincidence that the K Building was home to KDKA. The Wilkinsburg Commission has targeted the Forest Hills KDKA shortwave site for the location of the National Museum of Broadcasting and Conrad Garage Restoration. To learn more about the Conrad project, visit the KDKA website at www.kdkaradio.com and click on Timeline. There you can read about KDKA history and efforts to save the birthplace of broadcasting. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73 and good DX.
Mark Dernberger on the road. Well, not really on the road. We're actually in my garage at the moment, and we're following up on a recent column by Bruce Conti, during which Bruce demonstrated the best way to pick up radio inside a noisy environment, such as a city apartment. We're going to go a step further and show you specifically what happens with computers, with light dimmers, even with the recorder itself. And we've picked station KOAL in Price, Utah, some 150 miles away on 750. It's daytime, so we're going to have a ground wave to listen to. And not a terribly good signal here, so it'll be a good demonstration. Let's bring up KOAL on our Sony 7600G. There's no sideband stuff around us here. All right, now let's move it to a fluorescent light. We're going to just shut the light off. Now we're going to move the radio near three different computers we have in the house using the built-in antenna in the radio. Here's what it sounds like as we move toward the monitor on computer one. I'm going to go to computer number one CPU. Moving it back. Here's computer two. That's a Vivitron 17 monitor. And there's the computer next to it, the IBM. Get away from them. That whistle you just heard, that was the answering machine starting up.
And it's just Tuesday. Yeah. I'm afraid what's ahead of us.
And let's try computer three. That's an Axion. And its computer. And again, moving away from them. Okay, from the computers, let's try another common household interference generator, the light dimmer. We're in the kitchen. I'm going to turn the dimmer on. The dimmer, of course, is generating a form of electrical interference called hash, and it gets into the power lines throughout the house, so it's very hard to find a location anywhere in the house that's interference-free. When there's a dimmer turned on anywhere else in the house. I'm walking. I'm 10 feet away from it. I'm 20 feet away from it. I'm three rooms away. This interference is the most common, and it's probably the easiest to fix. Here, I'll turn off the dimmer. Oh, blessed relief. That was the internal antenna on the radio. Now let's see how external loop antennas can work. Let's plug one in.
They had a lot of talent up in the bay.
That was lots of fun.
All right, so there's the Kiwa pocket loop. And I'll ace it in, and you'll hear me moving it around, nulling out the noise.
Public since Darren was born. Mm-hmm. And
this is not a true balanced loop. Let me reverse it 180 degrees and show you what I mean.
But it was fun. We saw a lot of people we haven't seen.
Now I get a better
quieting. But I shouldn't say just a community event, but it's an event where the community comes out and they see people they haven't for a while. So next year, don't miss the Helper Arts Festival.
Loops that are truly balanced have bi-directional pickup, equal pickup in both directions. More importantly, a balanced loop is much better at nulling out noise. Okay, let's go from the somewhat decent Kiwa pocket loop to the truly balanced Air Core loop.
Oh, yeah, it is on the 15th.
From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. to Price Park, which is always fun for little kids.
Yeah. And now with the Air Core loop, we'll null out that noise.
And there's a reason why for that. The more money you spend for printing up tickets and everything, the less money that goes to the kids of the community.
There you go.
It's at the Elks Lodge starting at 6 p.m. This coming Monday.
Okay.
Just want to let everybody know.
Now, in case you forgot how much the loop is helping, let's jump back to the built-in antenna for a moment.
Did you learn anything last
week?
And that's the best nulling we can do. And even the process of recording adds its own noise. The mini disc by Sony is accused of generating its own electrical field. I'm going to move the mini disc recorder up to the radio. I'm about 6 inches from the radio right now with the Sony mini disc. And now I'm moving back. I'm probably 8 feet away. But even close up, there is a way to move the Sony to null that interference. Right now, I am about 3 inches from the radio. And if I turn the Sony just a few degrees either way, so the moral of that story is be very careful as you set up your recorder. Be sure that you play with sacred angles to absolutely minimize the coupling. Okay, let's try one more test here. Let's get back near the computer and within reasonable range, as though our radios and the computer monitor were in the same room. First of all, we'll set the Sony 7600 near the monitor, but we'll move the radio around to null out the noise as best we can. It's going to be about 3 feet from the monitor. That's about the best we can do right there, and that's just about 3 feet from the monitor. Now we're plugged into the Kiwa AirCore loop, and we'll rotate the loop in three dimensions to null out the noise. We're again about 3 feet from the monitor.
$5 each. Now this one is looking for some fence. They need 6-foot chain link fence. And it's kind of an emergency. They need to get that fence up to keep their dog. So
without too much trouble, I've got a signal that's copyable, although you can still hear the computer in the background. But let me now unplug the AirCore loop and go back to the 7600 built-in antenna, and you'll see how much improvement we get. So the moral of that story is keep it as far away from computers as possible. Keep it as far away from anything that has a computer in it. And use a balanced pickup loop wherever possible. Here's a noise source that we may not think about. I'm going to set the radio down next to an unlikely noise source. It's what some of us call wall warts. This is a little plug-in transformer that may power a piece of consumer electronics or Christmas tree lights or who knows what. I'm setting the radio down next to one such device, and I'm going to plug in this wall wart. That is the Litian power pack for a computer jazz drive made by iOmega. It may not be a likely device to have in your arsenal, but it's a typical plug-in power supply. Here's another. That sound is coming from the wall wart for a popular telephone answering machine. Unplug that. And we'll try one more. That's actually a plug-in transformer for a popular communications receiver. So I guess the moral of the story is don't take anything for granted and use a plug-in loop whenever you can. After all, a good balanced loop can make this sound like this.
And then you get to have the storage.
That's right. That's what moms are for.
And that's this month's band scan as we work our way around a typical home environment and pinpoint interference generators. I think we've concluded that the best possible way to receive signals in a noisy environment is a balanced loop. But as Bruce pointed out, if you don't have the wherewithal or the resources to install a balanced loop in an apartment or a city area, there are many other tricks you can try. The main thing is to be aware of these devices. Some of them you never expect to be interference generators, and to stay away from them as much as possible. This is Mark Dernberger. We'll be back again next month. Till then, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. And from the Northwest Broadcasters site, digital radio, or DAB, in Canada is likely to take a giant step forward as engineering studies have been announced for more stations in the corridors between Toronto, Windsor, Ottawa, Montreal, and Quebec City, Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver, Chilliwack. Additionally, Texas Instruments and Radioscape have jointly announced a price breakthrough of US$45 for the new DAB chipset, which will likely bring the cost of an AM/FM MP3 DAB receiver down below US$135. Digital Radio Canada information is located at www.digitalradio.ca. That's digitalradio.ca. I'd like to send some kudos out to a National Radio Club member. I recently was invited to the Museum of Broadcasting Hall of Fame inaugural banquet on October 13th, 2001. This event is sponsored by the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting and is being held at the Radisson South Hotel at 7800 Normandale Boulevard in Bloomington, Minnesota. The 2001 Hall of Fame inductees include Roger Awesome, Frank Befira, Charlie Boone, Roger Erickson, Earl Hinton, Bud Kraling, Don Linder, William Linder, Stuart A. Lindman, June Pearsons, Bob Ryan, and DX Audio Service editor Mark Durenberger. The award reads, and I quote, "Mentor and inventor, teacher, technical author, and futurist. Mark Durenberger is an important figure in the development of new technologies in the broadcasting industry. His distinguished career includes engineering work at St. Cloud stations KFAM and WJON, Twin City stations WLOL, WCCO, and WCCO-FM, now WLTE, and Hubbard Broadcasting, KSTP, and KOB, Albuquerque, New Mexico. He also worked at Sound 80 Studios as a recording engineer and at Direct Broadcast Satellite Pioneer United States Satellite Broadcasting. He managed Teleport Minnesota, a world-class satellite fiber optic facility, and was a key player in the technical development of Midwest Sports Channel, MSC. Most recently, he's worked to develop satellite delivery of internet services to developing countries. A contributor to leading trade journals and designer of teaching curricula for major media seminars, he has gained wide recognition for his promotion of his profession and for supporting and enabling those seeking new challenges and opportunities in broadcasting. Mark Durenberger, inducted October 13th, 2001. All of us at the DX Audio Service would like to commend Mark on his support for radio and for his passion to the industry. And on our CBC test calendar, WODI 1230 in Brookneal, Virginia, will conduct a DX test from 1 a.m. until unknown sign-off time, Eastern Standard Time, on Sunday, November the 4th, 2001. The test will consist of Morse code, distinctive music, and voice announcements. Reception reports with return postage may be sent to Mr. Dave Marthouse, M-A-R-T-H-O-U-S-E, owner, WODI Radio, 1230 Radio Road, Brookneal, spelled B-R-O-O-K-N-E-A-L, Virginia, 24528. Or you can email Dave at the following email address, WODI@lynchburg.net. That's WODI@LYNCHBURG.net. And this test was arranged by Dave Marthouse, who is a DX Audio Service member for the National Radio Club and the DX Audio Service. And from our courtesy programs coordinator, he writes, "Hi, I'm Blaine Thompson, the NRC's CPC DX test coordinator. As you've probably seen, our friends at the IRCA have arranged a DX test with WJNT 1180 in Jackson, Mississippi for Saturday, September 29, 2001. I'm soliciting requests for stations to arrange DX tests with. This week, I'll send out requests to WTHE in Mineola, New York, 1520 AM, KEOR at Atoka, Oklahoma, 1110 AM, KMBI in Spokane, Washington, 1330, WISS in Berlin, Wisconsin, 1090, and KLLV in Breen, Colorado, 550 AM. Next week, I'll update you with some new stations I'm soliciting along with my replies that I've received. If you wish to contact me, my information is as follows. Blaine Thompson, first name spelled B-L-A-I-N-E, Thompson, 6523 Emmons Drive, E-M-M-O-N-S, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 46835-2293. You can also send him email at Fred, that's P-H-R-E-D-D, at well.com, W-E-L-L.com. Where do you come up with that, Blaine?
Well, it's a natural fact, man, you're on the right track. Stay right here till we get back. We'll be back, hey, Jack, right after the news.
Please flip the tape to side two.